Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Welcome to this episode of the Homeschool Sanity Show, when we will be discussing college admission and scholarship secrets for homeschoolers. My guest today is Lee Bentz, the Home Scholar. She is a dynamic homeschool speaker and author. She is an expert on how to craft a winning homeschool transcript and get the big scholarships. She understands what it takes to graduate homeschool students who are fully prepared for college and for life. Her practical advice and organized presentations have helped thousands of homeschool parents muster up the courage to complete their homeschooling journey. She will be presenting at the St. Louis Homeschool Expo, March 27th to the 29th in the year 2014, in case you happen to be listening to this at a later time. She also loves to share homeschool sanity like I do. One of her books is titled Scheduling, The Secret to Homeschool Sanity. That's another topic that I should probably have her discuss with us at another time. Well, many parents are intimidated by the prospect of homeschooling high school, let alone helping their students apply to college. And it's one of the reasons why some homeschool parents choose to send their children to high school rather than to continue homeschooling. And so I am hoping that Lee can give us some reasons to be confident that we can take our kids all the way through the homeschooling process and help them attend the college that is right for them and make it economically feasible. I'm in the middle of this process with my oldest son. He was homeschooled for his freshman and sophomore years, and then he decided to go to school with our blessing for his junior and senior years, and he is in the process of visiting college campuses, doing interviews for scholarships. And so this is something that I wish I would have had Lee's advice on years ago. But I have other children that I know will be able to benefit from what Lee has to share with us today. So Lee, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you today. Thanks.
Oh, well, you are welcome. It's my pleasure. I'm hoping that you can tell my listeners a little bit more about you and your family. And first, just telling us how you decided to homeschool initially.
Okay. Well, I started homeschooling when my children were in third and fifth grade, and it was because they weren't being well served by the public school. They were kind of both gifted, and the school district had a wonderful gifted program, but the farther we got into public school, the more we realized that no matter how great the program or how good the teachers, you just can't meet the needs of 30 kids in a class all at the same time and still teach them in a way that makes sense. And so after a while, I came to realize that I could do better with both hands tied behind my back. And so as scared as I was, I knew that I could do it because I'd seen, you know, these smart teachers really fumble. And I knew that I would fumble too, but I also knew that I could do a better job. So I jumped in. I only have the two kids, but I homeschooled for 8 years from the time they entered third and fifth grade until they graduated from homeschooling high school. And they did both get full tuition scholarships to their first choice college. So That was how I got my job now, and I call this my dream job because I get to talk about homeschooling all day long, and I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a passion of mine and not one that I thought I would undertake at the time, but it's been great. I've been thrilled that the Lord called me to do it. Well, Lee, as I was mentioning, many homeschooling parents are really confused about homeschooling high school, about college choices. You know, we hear all the time in the media that, you know, a college degree isn't a guarantee for a job. It's not necessarily economically feasible. You know, you might you might have a child like you did with your two sons who is gifted, but you might not. And you might have a student who is more of an average student. And so how can you help us as parents make those kinds of, I know it's really hard, you know, you would need to sit down with each of us as individuals, but what advice do you have for parents who are really confused about whether their child should go to a traditional college or not?
Okay, that's a really good question. And the younger the child is that you're talking about this, the better off everybody will be, because a lot of it has to do with being prepared. Because, you know, you can easily get children college prep ready through senior year in high school, but it's much, and then decide not to go to college. But it's much more difficult to have decided they're not going to go to college and not do college prep, and then all of a sudden they want to go. So asking early on is good. And my biggest advice is to always be prepared. And the reason for that is we know what we were called to do, you know, as parents. And sometimes we can do that with what we think God has called for our children. And it's not necessarily true, you know, because maybe you were called to be a wife and mother, but maybe your child is called to be an engineer. And you won't necessarily know that. You know, even when they're a senior in high school, you may not necessarily know that. And so the way to be ready for anything, should God choose to do anything with your child, is to provide college preparation. And I do think that every child deserves a college prep education. They're either going to use it, you know, like maybe you know your child is going to go to college and you know that they need college preparation in order to get there. But you know, it could be the opposite, where you don't think they're going to go to college. And in that case, your education becomes the very best possible high school education that you can give them, so it will serve them the best whether they go to college or career or, you know, whatever they end up doing, they'll be well prepared. And one of the reasons why preparation is so important is because teenagers are notorious about changing their minds, you know, and so you'll think that they want to go into one kind of a career, and then the next thing you know, they're totally their mind. And my very best friend, in fact, her son would bring home little stray engines the way other people would bring home little stray puppies, you know, and he was always fixing these engines, and that made sense to her because, you know, her husband and her worked hard and didn't go to college, and so they really thought that their son wouldn't go to college and would become an auto mechanic, and it made perfect sense, except when Mike turned 18 and turned to his mom and said, all this stuff I do with engines, I don't know what I want to do, I want to be an engineer. And they were totally caught off guard, and he actually graduated high school with just having some Algebra 1, and so she told me to tell everybody that story so that all homeschool moms would know to always be prepared for anything. And as long as you're thinking about it, you know, when your children are in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you'll have plenty of time to plan their courses and make sure that they're college ready, no matter whether they choose college or not. You'll be ready to go.
That's a great story and definitely illustrates the point. And I really like what you said about, you know, if your child doesn't go on to college, that you are providing them with the best possible education then, because it may be their only advanced education.
Right. And really, the downside, there is no downside, right? Because if you provide a college prep education and they don't use it, so what's the worst that could happen? They end up knowing a little bit more about American history than their neighbor, you know? That's like a good thing. We want them to know more as much as possible and to become lifelong learners and continue to learn. But it's interesting because now that I've been doing this for a while, I do get calls from moms who have graduated a child 10 or 12 years ago, and now the child wants to go to college. And now the child has to have their high school transcript. And, I mean, as hard as it is to think about making your high school transcripts when you're in high school, can you imagine 10 years from now having to think back and make it? It would be a challenge, you know, Melanie? So mm-hmm. I think it'd be, you know, planning ahead.
Well, and you mentioned that you really want to start early in preparing mm-hmm. for college. How early? You know, if I am a mom listening to this and I have a fifth grader, do I need to start thinking about college?
I think that it is helpful to start thinking about high school. And so that's what I tell people about, you know, the middle school years, is that that's when you're looking at high school and looking at making your high school college prep. And what does that mean? So it doesn't mean that you're thinking about college. It means that you're thinking about a college prep high school, which would include things like, I wonder how I'll get my science done. I wonder how I'll get my math done. And you start researching articles on how to teach high school math when you're homeschooling. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I do is try to provide help for parents that are trying to figure out how to teach those harder subjects. But, you know, the other side of that story is I don't want anybody to be panicked, because there's really nothing that you can do wrong that's going to burn any bridges. You can't really be behind if you have a freshman or sophomore. There's nothing that you could have done by that point that can't be undone in junior and senior year of high school. So there's no reason to panic. But at the same time, I find that it's very helpful if in middle school you can start thinking about what is homeschool, high school all about. I you know, encourage you to find a plan for what do you think you might do with math or science, because it becomes, homeschooling is much more self-teaching when you get into the middle school and the high school years. And sometimes the parents of a younger child will think that that is a sign of failure somehow, that, you know, old burned out moms stop teaching and let their children learn science on their own. But actually it's the opposite, because, you know, you and I have older children, and we know that one of our goals in life is to get our children to become independent. And when they start learning on their own, learning math on their own, learning science on their own, that's actually a sign of success rather than a sign of weakness or failure on the mom. So the focus of homeschooling becomes more about self-teaching, and you become a guide or a project manager or a boss who makes sure that the work is done, but it's the child that actually does the work of learning and self-teaching. So I guess all of that to say, I really encourage parents that have a 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th grader to reduce their fear of high school by just starting to do a little research. And when you hit that 7th or 8th grade level, that's when you want to start practicing your record keeping. And just kind of, I'm going to pretend my child is in high school. What would their transcript look like today? You know? And I find that can reduce a lot of fear.
Right. That's excellent advice, too. Well, it really begs the question then, what kinds of coursework goes into making a college prep high school education? What kinds of things should we be looking at and thinking about when choosing courses?
Okay, great. Well, I think that it looks exactly the same as non-college prep most of the time, because the homeschoolers that I know, they really want their children to be well-educated, you know, and so they teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, that sort of thing. And so it will look exactly like everybody else's, but I want you to do it without fear and not being afraid of high school math or being afraid of high school science. But so let me explain the courses that colleges want to see. They want to see 4 years of English, and they will usually say they want to see reading and writing. They call it literature and composition. But you know, reading and writing is something that homeschoolers teach all the time, and writing can be very simple, just, you know, regular writing. It doesn't have to be a special program. You don't have to include literary analysis unless you want to, and so it's not necessarily going to be different. It just includes reading and writing. Colleges want to see 4 years of math. Yes, it is true that some colleges want to see math all the way up to pre-calculus or calculus, but other colleges don't have that preference. And some colleges will accept you for admission if your child has algebra. So what I tell parents is make sure that you have 4 years of math and that you're teaching them math at their level, and you try to get through one level of math per year. And even if you feel like your child is behind, if you do that, chances are they'll have enough to go to college if that's what they decide to do later on. Colleges like to see 3 or 4 years of social studies. And within social studies, they like to see world history, U.S. history, economics, and government. But you can teach more than that if you want to. You can teach it in a variety of different ways if you want to. Some people will like do a comparative government class. Another woman I was talking to just recently, she wanted to have a half a credit class on Jamaican history because they lived in Jamaica. So those are all sorts of the freedoms that you have to provide college prep education within, you know, your family structure. Colleges like to see at least 3 years of science, and at least one of those sciences would be a lab science. Funny story about lab sciences, there is no national definition of what a lab science is. So if you want to call it a lab science, knock yourself out and call it a lab science. There are some high schools across the nation, and they do all their labs online, you know, so maybe you will too. I usually say if you buy a curriculum that has labs in it, call it a lab science and don't overthink it. Colleges like to see 2 or 3 years of foreign language, and it has to be of a single foreign language. So having 3 years of French is a good idea, but having 1 year of French and 1 year of Spanish and 1 year of German is not a good idea, because they want to see kids that are, you know, reasonably fluent at least recognize the language. So 2 or 3 years of a single foreign language. Some colleges will ask to see 2 years of physical education or 2 credits of physical education. And that will be very easy for some that are doing sports all the time, and a little bit more challenging if your child is sedentary. And if they tend to be sedentary, then you might want to think about a PE class that would include health or nutrition or CPR, first aid, babysitters, that sort of thing. Colleges will look for 1 year or more of fine arts, and the fine arts are music, art, theater, or dance, and it doesn't have to be a combination, and you don't have to do them all. And so if your child does 1 year of piano and hates it, you still have your fine arts all covered. Or maybe your child loves history and you study the history of painting in Europe, you know. So you can do your fine arts any way that you want. I will say that if your child loves fine arts, there's a good chance of them racking up tons and tons of credits in it, and that's okay too. And then finally, colleges want to see enough high school electives so that it all adds up to about 24 or more high school credits. And so there's 3 different kinds of electives that you might have. The first kind would be family requirements. Like if your family requires you to have driver's ed, or maybe as a family you require your child to have home economics or auto mechanics or sewing or something like that. And then the second category would be if your child had things that were required by the state that aren't covered elsewhere. So, for example, I live in Washington State, and one of the strange things that our state requires is occupational education. Well, that's super easy because as soon as your child gets paid to do anything, babysitting or whatever, those hours become part of their occupational education. So it's really easy to do, but it's also, you know, kind of a strange requirement. Where do you put that? You can't really put it in math or social studies, so you would put that state requirement in the elective category. And then the third area for electives is delight-directed learning, and those are the things that your child learns for fun. When you're not meaning for them to learn something like economics, and they just kind of learn it because that's what they love to do. And you'll see that a lot for kids that are involved in speech and debate or 4-H. Those are usually things that kind of are outside the box and are more in the elective category. And so, you know, overall you're covering the core classes with college prep, but then you also encourage the delight-directed learning, and that's what college preparation is all about. And I'll bet you that even parents that have younger children are thinking, that sounds familiar. That sounds like what I do at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is an excellent summary of the requirements, and I imagine that some listeners might have been scrambling to write all of that down. But mm-hmm. I bet that you have that information written in some kind of a format for people.
I do. And so if you go to my website, I have my website is thehomescholar.com, and I have a freebies tab across the top, and I have lots of freebies there that will be helpful. But if you look specifically for the five biggest mistakes, that kind of goes over what classes would be very helpful for you to get. So we have lots of free resources there that will be helpful.
All right, and I will be sure to add that to the show notes for this episode. And to get those, you just need to go to ultimateradioshow.com, click on the Homeschool Sanity Show button, and you will find the show title College Admission and Scholarship Secrets for Homeschoolers, and I will have a link to that in case you can't remember. Well, some other things that we need to talk about. Do you help families who are nervous about preparing a high school transcript? Mm-hmm. Because that can be really intimidating, can't it?
It can be. I find that fear of the homeschool transcript is probably the number one reason why people panic and fail at the high school level. And so my job is to take away the fear and the mystique of homeschooling high school so that parents think of it as just kind of the next step, you know. It's like going from baby to toddler. It's just the next step, and they're not afraid anymore. And that's why actually record keeping is one of my the biggest things that I write on and one of my most popular topics for my free resources, because I really try to take away the fear of that. If you are thinking about a transcript, I would encourage you to look at my free webinar. It's called The Homeschool Parents Guide to Grades, Credits, and Transcripts. And it is an hour-long class on how you do that and how do you know what a grade is or what a credit is. And it includes, I think, 45 minutes or an hour of question and answer from other parents just like you that are asking questions about how to do that. It can be scary, but I have to tell you, making a transcript is not that hard. It is just one piece of paper made on a Word document on your home computer, you know, Times New Roman, size 12 font. You can do it, you know, go mom, go.
We definitely wouldn't want that to be the reason someone doesn't continue homeschooling if they feel called to do so. So that's excellent that you make that available to people. Well, now let's talk about applying for college. You have your college prep education completed. You have your transcript in hand. You've taken the ACT or the SAT, and you are interested in going to college. How can we go about choosing a college to apply to? What are some factors to keep in mind?
Okay, great. The number one tip that I can tell you is to start junior year, and that's why, Melanie, I was so excited to hear that you'd already been looking at colleges with your junior, because you are on the right path. Because junior year is like the year when you need to choose the colleges that you're going to apply to. Because senior year is when you have to apply, and you have to apply in September, right? So you spend all of junior year searching for a college. And you can start earlier if you have a sophomore, but junior year is when kind of push comes to shove. And so there's certain steps that you go through to find a college, and the first step is to go to a college fair. They're in most major cities across the nation. Usually they're in the fall. And college, it's like a homeschool convention, really. Instead of homeschool products and businesses coming to the homeschool convention, it's colleges that are going to the college fair. And so they'll come from all over to your city. And by going to a college fair, you can see maybe 100 colleges all at once. So it's extremely convenient, very cost-effective. And even if you have to drive 4 hours to a big city to go to one, it's completely worth it because you don't have to drive to 100 colleges, right? So the college fair is really helpful. And then when you're there, you go from booth to booth and you let your students introduce themselves. And you know, it might be something like, hi, I'm Alex, and I'm a homeschool student, and I was wondering if you had information on an engineering program, or I don't know, I'm Alex, and I'm a homeschooler, and I just don't know what I want to do. What do you suggest for a high school junior that's in a position like me? And they just start having that conversation, and they get to know the colleges that they're talking to. And then you can find out what the requirements are, you know, because you're in junior year, you'll have plenty of time to adapt. So if you find out that they need something like American history and it had never dawned on you, you'll still have senior year to take American history, no problem. After you go to the college fair, you'll have an idea of maybe which colleges you want to do more research on. So if a college fair has 100 colleges, maybe you come home and you think, well, here's 15 or 20 that I think I should probably research. They sound pretty good. And you definitely want to do your research because you may have talked to the only nice person on campus at the college fair. And you need to know more details about it. And so some of the things that you want to find out are, do they have the major that your child is interested in? And are they a big city college, or are they in a rural area? What kind of a community do they have? You can do research on things like what is their graduation rate? Do most kids graduate in 4 years or 6 years? Because it doesn't matter how cheap the college is. If they have to go for 6 years, that's going to increase your price substantially. So especially if you're looking for scholarships or you're worried about money, look for colleges that graduate kids within 4 years. The other thing you want to look at is how many of their graduates are employed after graduation. 95% employed, that would be pretty good. 60% employed, that would be pretty bad. And so you wouldn't want to go there. And then after you've done your research, then you'll have a pretty good idea of the colleges that you want to visit. Because visiting takes a lot more time and effort. You know, we visited probably, I don't know, eight colleges probably. But my husband had to take a week off work, and there was a lot of driving around and coordinating of schedules, and it was pretty tough to do, you know. So you want to do your research first so you can cut down how many colleges you want to visit. But you really need to visit colleges. Just because your best friend's child goes somewhere, or it's a college that you went to when you were a child, it doesn't matter. Colleges have changed so much. You really, really need to visit, and I can't overstress that enough. I know that one of my friends was very surprised at the college she wanted to visit that they were selling marijuana openly on campus. I was very surprised myself when we visited a college that my husband had attended, and they no longer had chapel. In the chapel, that's where they did their theater productions, and they were having a production that had such an inappropriate title, and they had put the banner right over the word chapel, and here's this giant advertisement using words that my children knew from biology but never, ever would be allowed to use at home. And, you know, it was pretty shocking. And so you need to go and visit because they can look very similar on paper. And there were three colleges that we visited that were so similar on paper. And I was really very, very shocked at the difference between the two or the three of them. And you really don't know unless you go to visit. And there's things that only you and your children will care about. I know one of the colleges that we visited had extremely antiquated engineering materials that they were using. I mean, it looked like something from the 1950s. It was just crazy that they called it an engineering program. So you need to go visit. And then once you visit, you can use all of that information that you've gleaned during your visit as part of your college application essay. So when you're marketing your child to college, you can make sure that you tailor their college application essays using information that they got when they were on the visit. So if you met a professor, you could name the professor in your essay, or if they talked about something in class, you could mention what they talked about in class while you're writing your essay. And those are all ways that can increase your chances of getting scholarship money.
Boy, that's an excellent tip that we did not take advantage of with my son. But I can tell you that you're exactly right, that it's really important to visit, because I had the opposite experience where I went to graduate school. I just thought, oh, this is not going to be a good place for my son. Mm-hmm. And we both ended up being very, very impressed with
yeah.
the program they had to offer. So that's just excellent advice. And the next question then is, you know, my son had on his list of top schools that he wanted to attend schools that were just going to be completely out of reach for us mm-hmm. financially. And then you have to go through the process of identifying what the finances are going to be like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's challenging. So the number one thing you need to remember about the cost of college is that almost nobody pays the sticker price for the college. And so one college may say they cost $40,000 a year, and another may say they cost $20,000 a year or $15,000 if they're an in-state college. But the sticker price that they tell you doesn't matter at all. One of the reasons for that is usually a private college costs more to go to, but they also will have more money to give away. And so, you know, maybe the average student only pays $15,000, even though the sticker price is $40,000. On the flip side, a state school may look really cheap when you look at their sticker price. Many states are in the same problem with their finances as the federal government, and they don't have any money to give away for scholarships. And so $15,000 is what you're going to pay, no matter how smart you are or how well you play football. And so you don't want to look at the sticker price. And instead, you think about the different ways that people get scholarships. And one way is obviously tied to their SAT scores or ACT scores and their GPA. And that's usually the first wave of scholarship after you apply. You know, you find out, oh, we got $10,000 a year off our tuition because of that those numbers. The second way wave of scholarship comes in when they give you an award based on your financial needs. And that means that, you know, you filled out the financial forms and they say that you can't afford more than this for college, and so here's your financial aid given based on how much money you need in order for your child to go to college. Some of that money for need will come from the federal government, but some colleges will look at your financial need and will give you more scholarship money as well. So that's another piece of the puzzle. And then the third wave of scholarship comes much later in senior year, and that's when they give you money based on who you are and what you've done. So that's when, you know, they really needed a piano player more than anything. And they'll give you a full tuition scholarship if you will just come to their school and play piano. And you don't always know what they need or who they're going to pay money for. Some colleges will have a competition to see, to compete on the best scholarships, and that's what actually happened to my children. They were there were like 108 or 110 kids invited to the full tuition scholarship competition, and only 10 were given scholarships. And it was really interesting, Melanie, because they were very nervous about going to this competition because I've never really had them do anything scary like that before, and. But when they came home, they said it was really fun, and they met super smart people, and, you know, ultimately the people they met were friends for life. But when we got the call that they had gotten their scholarship, that was when I found out as a mother exactly how wonderful homeschooling really is, because we were told that our children, they both won, and the reason we were told was because they were evaluated on how they interacted with the other children when they thought nobody was looking. And so essentially they won their full tuition because of socialization, you know? and I just love that because, you know, the questions that we get are, what about college, right? And what about socialization? And what about scholarships? And in my experience, it was a huge benefit to be a homeschooler for college, for scholarships, and for socialization. It was all because we homeschooled that we were able to do as best we could.
That is really encouraging, I know, to many listeners. And I just want to emphasize one of the things that you said again, because I have friends who are in this position who they just don't have the finances to pay for college, and their child isn't necessarily gifted academically, you know, I mean, like off the charts, they're going to get a full ride scholarship. But it's so important to understand that most colleges today will meet what they perceive, at least, as your financial need and make it possible for you to go. So I just wouldn't want a parent to think, well, we just can't even apply unless my child's a national merit finalist, because that isn't the case.
Right. And so, you know, if you were to come to me and you were a parent and this is what you were telling me, then I would give you some advice and say the best thing that you can do for scholarships is to start the research in junior year. Make sure you know exactly what you're doing through the process. But then you want to apply to at least 4 to 8 colleges, that there's a mix of public and private schools, and that you focus on 3 kinds of colleges. You would have some that are reach colleges, which means that, you know, I'm not sure we can get in. Some that are perfect fit colleges, where you know that your child is academically right in the middle of the kind of people that they like to have on campus. And then you would have a safety school, where your child would be the smartest kid on campus, right? And by applying to those 3 kinds of schools, and you apply to 4 to 8 schools in total, there's a very good chance that among those colleges, someone somewhere is going to give you a very good scholarship offer. And so, you know, in my experience, if somebody has a child that is an average child, just ordinary Joe homeschooler with average test scores, in general, they'll pay the same amount for a public school as they would a private school. So there's no harm in applying to the private schools. And one thing that you can do is that if you really need scholarships and you know that you can't go to college if you don't get good scholarships for your kids, then it's to find a college that's going to give you good scholarships for going there, because not all colleges have super high test scores for their student body. And so if your child has a slightly above average test score, maybe you could find a college where, in general, the students at that college have scores that are slightly below average. And that would make your child the smartest kid on campus, even though they're average, right? They would be the smartest kid on campus. And the college would want those kids, because all colleges are looking to make their student body look smarter and smarter and smarter. And so as long as your child is slightly average, then the average student body, they will help the college, and they'll be more willing to invest money in you.
Mm-hmm. And it's important, I mean, I think you kind of hinted at that, to know that there are other kinds of scholarships that kids can apply for. I know my niece, who was homeschooled for some of her schooling years, she put together a whole video and kind of like a marketing website for herself to secure a soccer scholarship, which she did.
Wow, yeah. Yes, there are private scholarships that you can pursue as well. Most scholarship money, though, will come directly from the colleges. It's interesting, the National Merit Scholarship, that actually is a very small award. It's like $2,500 or something, pretty small award. And so most money, even for the smart kids, is going to be coming from the college directly. And maybe the college will give you a full tuition if you're a National Merit Scholar. But the money itself will usually come from the college. There are some things that you can do to make sure that you get good scholarships, and making sure that your child has a good GPA, which just means that they learn things before moving on. Making sure that they have good test scores for the SAT or the ACT. And a lot of times, if you'll just practice the test at home, just do a section, maybe three times a week when they're, you know, in the middle of high school or towards the end of high school, because they don't have to get smarter. They only have to get better at taking the test, right? And so practice, practice will help them to understand, how does this test ask me questions? You know, what do they really want to know? And by practicing the same questions over and over and over, you'd be amazed at how they can raise their score. My sons actually, they sort of thought it was cheating, because they would come home from the SAT and say, I swear, Mom, I've seen that question before. I think it was the exact same question. Well, I don't know if it was or it wasn't, but I do know that practice made them feel very, very comfortable with those tests. So that can help a lot. And then also being very involved in the process, you know, as you are, Melanie, and thinking about, well, have we gone on college visits? And, you know, I can hear it, your voice, that you're thinking about it and processing it. And then, like I say, just make sure that you're aiming to be the best qualified candidate that that college sees, and then you're more likely to get big scholarships when you need it.
Great advice. And I know one of the other things that I read in your book, and what is the name of your book that is on the topic?
Yeah, it's called College Admission and Scholarships. So that's pretty easy. You can go to my website, thehomescholar.com, and then put in /college admission book, or you can Google me on Amazon, and you will find my book, College Admission and Scholarships, The Home Scholar Guide to College Admission and Scholarships, and it's right there. It talks about homeschool secrets to getting ready, getting in, and getting paid so that you don't have to pay that full price for college. But I would encourage parents to start reading on college admission and scholarships early, because I hear from people all the time. In fact, this morning, one of my customers who bought my book was saying, full tuition, we got full tuition, and she was so excited. And I tell you what, I am not the only one, and my children, they're wonderful children because they're mine and all, but they're not 100% awesome all the time. They're just regular kids, and they managed to get scholarships. Our scholarships were not the best scholarships that I've ever seen. I have seen perfectly normal kids get really great scholarships all the time. And so if you focus on the process and you know a lot about the process, you can be successful too. When people are not successful, it usually means that they waited until senior year and they don't really understand what it is they're doing, or, you know, why the essay is important, or, you know, why should I apply early? Those are the kinds of situations where, you know, the mom or dad kind of feels like they're the weakest link, and, oh, I wish I would have, you know, done my research early. And that's why I encourage people to just try to think 4 years ahead, right? So if you're in middle school, you try to think about high school. And if you're in high school, you try to think about how to get into college and get ready for a career.
That is great advice as usual. And one of the things that I wanted to add to what you've said that I gleaned from your book is that you really want to keep good records of all the things that your kids are doing, because it really can help to make your child look that much better on mm-hmm. a scholarship application. So things like volunteer work and
yes.
going on mission trips with mm-hmm. a church. You know, my son does the PowerPoints for our church's services.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has a staff position that's called something like technology director.
Wow.
Which kind of cracks me
excellent.
Up, but it sounds great. It sounds great on an application, and it's definitely not too early to be thinking about the kinds of things that your children already love to do. It's not that they're trying to, you know, make themselves out to be better than they are, but
mm-hmm.
it's just keeping track of those kinds of things, because it will be helpful to you later.
Right. And you're trying to show the uniqueness of your child. So, in a homeschool situation, I would say let's call that occupational education, and we'd call the second name of that class would be technology director, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you'd make sure that you would give them high school credit for that, you know, just like they do in a public school setting when they have their DECA or whatever they do for their occupational education. That's what homeschoolers can do too. So you want to put that right on the transcript as well, because you're trying to make their transcript show the uniqueness of your child, and that means putting down on paper what they do that is different or unusual, and just say it as if you're a public school that offered that class, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it. One thing I did want to say, though, is that, you know, you said, oh, it's such a surprise when I put it in black and white. It sounds like it's such a cool position and everything. Well, that's what writing your high school transcript is like, because we as homeschool moms know so much about our children driving us crazy, you know, and we forget that when we write it all in black and white on a piece of paper, they all look smart. You know, I haven't met a homeschooler that doesn't look as smart as my kids once we put into black and white what they actually do for fun and what they've actually accomplished. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to get to calculus, but they can still look really good on paper, because usually the kids that don't have calculus, the reason they don't is because they have 6 credits of music, you know, or mm-hmm. fine arts somehow. And so it all kind of balances out. But once you put your child on paper in a transcript, they almost always look really good. And you stand back and you think, I am amazed. And when you write your course description, you'll take a class that maybe you didn't intend to teach, like occupational education and technology, and you write down everything that they did in this course description, and then all of a sudden you say to yourself, wow, that is a real high school class. I had no idea I was teaching that.
Lee, this has been such an encouraging discussion, and I feel like you have been so generous with us, with your time, and just with the education that you've been giving us on this topic. And I really hope that a lot of people will listen to it. If you are a homeschooler who knows people who have children in high school, or they're maybe nervous about continuing to homeschool through high school, then I hope that you will share this interview with them, because I think that they will come away from it really confident that they can take their children to the next level of education as well. Lee, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me. And I'll send you a link to a free ebook that you can share called Finding a College That You Love, so that people can read a little bit more about finding a college and how you go about that process.
That would be wonderful, and I will add that to the show notes as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for having me, Melanie. I really appreciated it, and I wanted to just say a word of blessing to everybody in the audience. I know that homeschooling is a hard, hard job, and you are going to be so glad that you did it in the end. It's a wonderful thing to look back and think, I have no regrets. I did what needed to be done at the time, and to just feel satisfied that you did the job well, even though it was a hard job.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com, that's the number 6, for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.